All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls. 333-2665 is the phone number. Lots to talk about tonight. Lots of moves being made on teams in the area. The Reds have begun, perhaps, selling off some valuable assets. Johnny Cueto going to the Kansas City Royals. We'll have Reds baseball at 8 o'clock here tonight and much of the rest of the week. The Pacers making some moves, signings and tradings into the team. We'll talk about that. The Colts making a little bit of news also over the last couple days with a release, and we'll cover that here in just a minute. Also, U.S. soccer over the weekend and last week with, oddly, two of its most embarrassing losses in half a decade, but coming within a couple months of perhaps two of its best wins on the road in its history. So an odd time for U.S. soccer if you're a soccer fan also. But we'll start here in the area with the Indianapolis Colts up the road. Made news a few years ago. Ryan Grigson made some moves to bring in a large free agent class in 2013, and one of the big pieces at the time was shoring up the offensive line with Gosder Cherilis, who was a veteran who had played, I believe, my calculation at the time was in the neighborhood of 73 out of 74 games in his career in the Detroit for the Detroit Lions after being drafted. So came into Indianapolis with a decent contract, some good money, and looking to solidify the right tackle position for the Colts, who already had Anthony Costanzo. And here we are 2 years later, and it was 29 games that Cherilis did end up playing. So he played the majority of his time here, but finished last year and played most of last year, injured in a few different ways, coming off knee surgery now in the offseason. His agent says he is healthy, but the team apparently trying to renegotiate his contract, and the money hit is just going to go ahead and take a bit of a hit this year and next year financially, and have released him. And this is not the only flat-out release of some players that were brought in that 2013 class, some players that flat-out did not work out with Laron Landry and Ricky Jean-Francois also leading off that group. And Glass, I mean, to me, talked about the offensive line with these Colts. It's you know, the defense has got a lot of holes and it's got a lot of things that need to be improved in it. It has good games, it has really bad games. But the offensive line, for an offense and the skill position players that they have, the offensive line has always been a step below all of the skill players here. To me, it's the balance of the ability to run the ball and protect Andrew Luck. It just has not been able to get going. Andrew Luck and some of those players have made some plays that kind of to make everybody overlook that. But to me, losing a guy right before camp starts, I mean, you're trying to renegotiate it. I get it. Sometimes these sorts of things happen. But to me, this can't bode well for what's going on there. You know, I suppose you can look at it and say maybe they're happy with what they've got and they were willing to make it take a chance here and get rid and, you know, let him go if he wouldn't renegotiate. But to me, I don't think this team right now needs to lose a 6-7-8 year veteran on that offensive line when it already had humongous questions on the interior. I think Jack Muhort's got to be a good player for this team right now, or they wouldn't have done this. But he's one guy. They still have two and now three other question marks going into the season and right before the season.
Well, they always do and they always will, just because the animal that is pro football, you never have the season. The team has the best season, has the team with the least injuries. That's usually how it works out, the team that can avoid most of those. And when you couldn't use them at the time you needed to use them last year, which was in the playoff run, if his health is being cleared to play, doesn't mean you are a 16-game starter at right tackle protecting your biggest investment, Andrew Luck.
He was injured all last year.
That has to be pointed out. And the point about him coming back and being healthy, and this is a shock to everyone. Well, the Colts aren't going to go in there and give it a try. They'd rather cut their losses while they can. We'll only know if it's a good move down the road, but the point is, I don't think you can leave Andrew Luck exposed just to pound Cherilis into right tackle because he's getting paid that kind of money. If he's a half step slow or a quarter step slow at this level, you get toasted quickly. And the last thing you want anybody doing is having a free shot at Andrew Luck from any side of it. So if Cherilis's injury problems, his agent says he's healthy, he's in great shape. Okay, healthy and great shape to pass tests in healthy and great shape to play right tackle in the NFL are two huge different things. So if the Colts believe him to be an injury risk moving forward, well, you don't want to have that money tied up for 2 years with a guy playing 60% and not giving you anything. You take your losses and you move on. I agree with your point, though. They must really, really, really like Muhort because, number one, they didn't address this problem in the draft immediately, if not sooner, and think that he can move over and play.
Only so a lineman was a seventh-round player out of Mars Hill.
There you go, and we're not even sure if Mars Hill exists. It's somewhere out there. So he's sure he cost him a couple bucks. Sure, he could re-sign with him into a better deal. The agent mentioned something about, hey, they wanted to renegotiate. We saw those numbers and said no thanks. Well, of course, they have the signed contract. They know the Colts are going to take the salary cap hit if they release him. So if you look at it from a football standpoint, I'm going to read between the lines and say what they've seen from Cherla since he's been quote-unquote healthy to come back isn't good enough to protect one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the league, and I'm fine with letting him go. Money is – Jim Irsay's money. The Colts were just valued at the 27th most expensive franchise in the world a couple weeks ago. So I'm not worried about Jim Irsay's luxury tax money. I'm worried about Andrew Luck being upright. And if that's the best solution they had going forward, sorry that Charles didn't work out. Sorry that he couldn't collect and reap all that money. But you can't play hurt in this league. There are too many good players. There are too many guys watching film. There's too many coaches that know how to get through you and get around you. And you can't expose Luck to that. Or the new running attack they're going to put up there. They've got Frank Gore in there. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try to get something going on the ground. And when you got a guy limping through it, I don't know how much he helps you. It sounds like he hurts you more than he helps you.
Well, I wonder, though, too. I mean, the part about the money is what interests me here, because you've got a lot of guys that are going to need to get paid in the near future. Cobra Fleener, Dwayne Allen, Andrew Luck, of course, T.Y. Hilton.
Sure.
These guys are all coming due here in the very near future. They have put a lot of money and play into and their entire management of their salary cap right now into the next couple years. I mean, you bring in guys like Trent Cole and Andre Johnson and Frank Gore. You're trying to win today.
And a limping guy ain't going to help you do that.
Well, and I get that. I mean, if that's what they've got right now and they don't think he's rehabbing and things like that, they tried to get him, I think, a little bit on the cheap after that by renegotiating with him. We'll deal with Ryan Grigson and moves he's making and not making and whether they're working out later. But first and foremost, on the field, they went into the camp with Jack Muhort at right tackle. They did that for a couple clear reasons, one of which at minimum is just because Cherles wasn't ready to play in that particular camp. They have to like the fact that what they've seen out of Muhort, and I've got no reason to argue that. I like the kid. The problem, of course, is the interior still. He was drafted, I think, more so to solidify the interior of that offensive line because the other interior moves haven't worked out in their favor. Donald Thomas has been injured ever since he got here. Still on the roster, so we'll see if something happens there. They did bring in Todd Harriman, so we're going to have to see how this guy works. You've got Hugh Thornton, you've got Khalid Holmes. I mean, these are guys you got that got to start working out somehow.
Right.
As we said before the draft, it seemed to me that all of the moves they had made and all the previous drafts they had made and all the free agents they had brought in, they had the guys they had to make a good offensive line out of already, and we couldn't expect them to make anything out of the NFL draft this year, and they didn't. So right now, that group does not include Gosner Cherles, who happened to be maybe their highest money guy.
And remember as well, right tackle in the NFL is not nearly as important as left tackle. Yeah. And Anthony Costanzo is there and has done a pretty solid job. That I'd be more concerned if it was left tackle than it was right tackle.
That's I'm
a
concerned with the entire side. Offensive line.
Sure.
Costanzo is the one solid guy there. I'll give Muhort a 1A or a 2, if you will, at this point. But the rest of it needs to get figured out. Got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Colts let Gosner Cherles go, released him outright. He'll take a little bit of a hit this year and a bigger hit next year. And that's, I suppose, the interesting part there. To the money side of things, just because they're going to have to start paying out large sums of money to a couple of the folks they already have and determine who that might be. Of course, a wide receiver, they've been stacking up at wide receiver, so maybe one of your two tight ends, at least your two tight ends that got drafted together, Dwayne Allen and Cobie Fleener, maybe one of them will be allowed to walk when it comes to free agency. I can't imagine they're going to look at T.Y. Hilton and look at letting him walk. despite the drafting of Philip Dorsett. T.Y. Hilton's been one of the more productive guys in the NFL the last couple of years. So I don't think you want to do that. But again, back to that offensive line, they didn't make too many changes in the offseason at all. We kind of knew that in the draft. A lot of defensive issues. They went with Dorsett first, but they did address a lot of issues in the draft. Offensive line, it was only a seventh round pick in the offensive line. You know, I can't imagine they've seen either of their two seventh round picks the last 2 years look so good in the offseason that they were willing to get rid of guys they're chairless. But they've seen him. I haven't. Maybe that is the case. Can speculate there. But ultimately, I mean, Glass, I think you've got two top draft picks at your tackle positions now, and Costanzo, who's been solid as can be, and Muhort. But it's got to be that interior. And Todd Harriman's was brought in. He's an 11-year veteran. Another guy that's a buddy of Grigson's, you know, from the Eagles. I point that out because I'm going to keep on them until some of these start to work out.
And some you're allowed to. But
some of it's been unfortunate. I get that.
Yeah.
And but it
thing,
has.
And the thing you have to like about Harriman's, he's played in the league 10 years. He's not a guy that you're taking a chance on. He's a proven veteran. Right. And that's what the Colts need.
And he's a beater. I mean, he's a guy that should work at that spot.
And he should be a good locker room guy, obviously, because he's been there and done that. And he can hopefully be the anchor of the offensive interior where you can move Muhort outside and have it. I don't want to say take a chance, but you can have a guy. You're not going to.
Muhort had already shown versatility.
Sure. I don't think you're going to have to worry about Harriman's position is my point. I think you're going to put him in. He's going to play 16 games. He's going to be a complete professional where he's going to have more good games than bad games, and he's going to do his job.
I'm less worried about him than I
you should
am
be,
the young
I
guys.
I think he's proven his worth.
But I mean, the question still remains. I mean, he's still got to come in and do it.
Sure.
And one of the biggest issues the last couple of years, I mean, biggest issues, has been the center position. You know, we brought in Samson Satele. He was mediocre for a couple of years. That was a decent money deal. It didn't cost him a lot in the long run. I mean, it's not cost him anything now, except for the fact that they don't have the center position figured out.
Right. And Jonathan Harrison, undrafted free agent.
Yeah, he was interesting.
Khaled Holmes, you've got A.Q. Shipley, it's been through there as well.
Well, he's gone.
Tried everything.
Shipley's gone.
And Muhort played center for a couple.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
But yeah, he did. And so you have options, which is the good thing. But what you find in pro football these days is simple. If you have unbelievable skill players, you probably don't have the best offensive line or best defense that you want. If you have the best defense, you probably don't have the best skill players or offense. You can't have all four pieces to the puzzle.
Sure.
So what is most important for the Colts? My viewpoint is keep Andrew Luck upright and score as many points as possible.
Well,
everything else can fall into place with that.
The upright part is the question
it
right
is.
Now.
And Andrew Luck has shown and proved beyond a reasonable doubt of any kind that he doesn't mind taking a hit. He doesn't like to. No one likes to. He doesn't mind diving into the end zone. He doesn't mind tucking it and running guys over. He doesn't mind the pressure in the pocket. He doesn't enjoy it, but he's not a fragile flower where you have to protect him with different players differently, maybe than a guy who's not as mobile, maybe who's a guy who's not as tough. And I'm not naming names here. I'm just pointing out this happens throughout the league. Not everybody likes to sit back there and take it. So the Colts have decided to give Andrew as many toys as possible to get the ball in the end zone than they do to great and beat down other teams.
There's a lot of ways for your quarterback to not get killed in the pocket.
Yes. Play calling is one way. Throw
which
the ball
is get
at your
the ball
feet.
Out.
Yeah.
Get the ball out of your hands as quickly as possible.
Take an incompletion
as possible.
And
Andrew Luck might be the opposite of that, in that he's a big, statuesque, strong guy who's a physical guy. He doesn't mind the physical side of
things.
Tries
to make one more play. Absolutely.
Ultimately, what you don't want is you don't want your guy to be the most sacked guy in the NFL, and Andrew Luck has been pretty close to that in his career.
And he's won 12 games every year. So
this is not a criticism of Andrew Luck. This is a, hey, why don't we protect that guy as much as something else? You know, are the moves of Todd Harriman's and putting Muhort to tackle, is that going to solve it? Again, I still have major question marks with Hugh Thornton, Khalid Holmes, Jonathan Harrison, Joe Wrights. These are the guys that have been in a rotating in and out of the, you know, of the lineup for the last couple of years. It's the same cast of characters.
Well, you're
going to
need those guys regardless because you need depth across the line, because somebody's going to turn an ankle, somebody's going to pull a groin, somebody's knee's going to get hurt. So you have to have safety in numbers. But what the Colts can't afford to do is have Pro Bowl numbers up there. Where are you going to get – nobody gives up better than average offensive linemen for nothing. So you either A, have to draft them, or you B, have to sacrifice picks down the road to bring them in. The Colts have decided what they've found is going to be what it's going to be. Whether it works out or not, you're exactly right. We'll get to see that. But I'll take my chances with a decent line in Andrew Luck to have that money down the road for all his toys and himself to be paid, then load up on – big time offensive line guys and go and hope you find some wide receivers and hope you find some tight ends and hope you find some running backs.
Well, this,
because those pieces are already in place. The line has never been secured. He knows that. He it's not like, oh geez, what happened to my great line? Why are you doing this to
me?
He's seen this before. He gets what he has to do. So I don't think that shift's going to be huge. The extra playmakers, I think, are really going to help. And with all those playmakers, he might not need as much time in the pocket.
Well,
he might
that's
not,
just it.
He might not. If Frank Gore can break more than 3 yards a carry, lots of things are going to open up.
Again, you got to block somebody.
Now
all the weapons outside are going to make Frank Gore's life a little bit easier,
but
you still have to block somebody up front, and that's been the biggest problem is literally right up the middle. 333-2665 is a phone number. Wouldn't hurt if Andrew Luck began to adopt at least a portion of the Peyton Manning strategy.
I'm all for
the
that.
Ball out of your hands or
eat it,
too.
Or just live to fight another down. But my question is, at this point in the game, where do you go find those other players?
Oh, sure.
And that's the hard part. You can't do it right now. So the Colts are locked in. If Chehalis sees the light at the end of the tunnel and says, man, look at all these guys they've just brought in, maybe I want to be a part of that instead of go make a couple million more somewhere else, maybe he comes back. I don't even know if he can play. My point is I don't think the Colts would hastily do this based on all the reasons you just accurately pointed out. There has to be some – nobody comes out in this league and does guys dirty because you never know when you'll need his agent again. You'll never know when you'll need the guy around the block again.
Right.
The Colts aren't going to come out and say, look, Chehalis was lazy in his rehab. He's 20 pounds heavier than we wanted him right now. He did not follow the directions we wanted him to. It's fine that he's passed all the tests. He hasn't passed our tests because you never know when you have to deal with that guy's agent again or whatever it is. They're not going to hang the dirty laundry on him. I wouldn't think, based on exactly what you mentioned, you just went through all the reasons why they need a better offensive line and a better offensive lineman, there has to be something else in there that has forced their hand to remove Chehalis as opposed to move Chehalis.
The interesting part of that is the money side of things, and this has become a theme, unfortunately, because there have been a lot of
I read they save $4 million this year, then they'll eat $5.8 next year.
Well, shift
so
it
that's
around.
That's 1.8.
The point is they signed him to, a five-year contract, but what they are right now is they're out of paying guaranteed money. So, the money they have spent for Gosder Chehalis has actually ceased. At this point, they don't have future money, including this year, I believe, that they have to actually pay him. So there's technicalities as far as when it counts against the cap. And you're right. I believe it's $2 million this year now because of this move, and it's going to be $5 or $6 next year. So it is a big hit next year without a guy that's going to be on your roster. And you're removed from being on your roster. But what's become the theme all of a sudden here to free agency for the Colts has been, with these larger name guys that you brought in trying to really solve some problems, is it's become having to release them when that guaranteed money stops having to go out the door. It's a smart move from a contract standpoint to be able to get out after partway through the contract. That's smart. The problem is we have to keep relying on our contract smarts rather than our ability to get the right guy in the door.
Well, if the guys
and again, a couple of them have been injuries, so I want to be fair about that. Donald Thomas has been injuries. Gosder Chehalis' situation right now has been injuries. But what's not happening is we're not getting enough of those guys that are really making a big difference that's been coming in the door. The draft, that's where the majority of them have been coming.
Yeah, now, don't forget about Vontae Davis. That was a big-time pick, and that has worked out excellently.
That was a trade. I'll give them all the credit in the world for that. I think that's the shining example right now, because when it comes to free agency or trades, and they made about five trades for DBs that one off season, he's the one that's really stood out and worked. We still don't know about DeQuell Jackson long-term. He was in some odd trouble over the offseason that may not come to anything.
No.
Ricky Jean-Francois. Look, Ricky Jean-Francois is kind of what we already, to me, he was a fourth or fifth best guy on a defensive line. Kendall Langford is getting talked about now at the defensive tackle position as one of the big signings in the offseason. He was the same kind of thing.
Yep.
He was having a hard time getting snaps on a really good defensive line. Does that make him really good in order to play most of the time on this team?
I think what they've shown you over the years is you don't have to be an every down player for them. You need to be a two-thirds of a down player.
No, but Ricky, what my point is there is he wasn't much good here. So
yeah, if you're going
to go after the fourth or fifth guy on a good team or a good line or a good unit, you're bringing in the same guy in Kendall Langford. Not identical.
And hopefully,
skills,
and but. Hopefully not at the same price tag. Hopefully, you've saved yourself a few bucks. And again, you're just trying to plug in guys, and that's the whole deal. When you have all your money tied up in all your skill positions, or you're going to, you don't have that luxury. There's two ways to build: defense or offense. And very rarely do you find a team that is supremely balanced on either side of the ball. Look at the Seahawks, for example. What do you think when you hear the Seahawks? You can just rattle off all their great defensive players, and all of a sudden Russell Wilson's going to get $21 million a season?
Right.
To throw it to who? Marshawn Lynch ain't getting any younger.
Well, none of their wide receivers are any good.
Well, can you name any of their tight ends? Who they have is, what's their tight end?
Well, they got Jimmy Graham.
There you go. That's
trade,
it.
But
so
it
you got one guy.
To get that.
That's the point. So the Seattle Seahawks are sitting around thinking, okay, we got who are skill position receivers? And you look at all their defensive players and say, wow. We just don't have to lay by score.
Right,
and
if
we get a field goal or two, we win the game. So I see what the Colts are doing, and what the salary cap has done is it hasn't allowed dynasty-type football where you can just go out and spend anything you want and put in as many places as you want. So you have to be shrewd. A lot of these moves don't work out, Dave, because you are buying on the angle that you're buying on the upside. You're not buying proven. You're hoping that that it works out because you have to get a guy at a price range that fits. So then you really have to you got these five guys can only make $5 million out of these five.
Right.
Who's the best fit for us? And right, it always doesn't work out. So you pick and choose your spots. That's why I think the draft's so important. And again, where the Colts been drafting recently? Offensive skill players.
Yeah.
And they've worked out.
And that's just it. I mean,
that's the good news.
Do you continue to put all of your eggs in the offensive skill player basket? Look, I'm all for giving Andrew Luck toys. I don't want him to go out there with a bunch of no-names.
Right.
But the question becomes, when you can go three tight ends deep and six wide receivers deep, you know, is that really the way that you want to go when you're trying to build an entire team? I'm still of the mindset, and I think other teams have shown this to you, as far as the teams that have end up in the Super Bowl, for the most part, it shows you it's still a physical game. I mean, think about the teams that have been there. Baltimore, San Francisco, the Patriots last year, the Seattle Seahawks, as you mentioned. I mean, these are the teams that have been in the Super Bowl the last couple of years. These are teams that are still make their bread and butter by their physical games up front. Yes, there are quarterbacks involved because you have to have a quarterback in this league. Everybody has shown you that, but that's where it comes down to. It's still a physical game, and the team that wins the physical game usually ends up winning more games.
Yeah, and Denver's had kind of the balance of both, and they still haven't been able to secure that product.
Yeah,
you
up
got
front,
Von Miller,
weak.
And
yeah.
you had Terrence Knighton, and you had and who's that other big linebacker?
No,
on
defensively,
the
they did, they made some
point.
Moves. Yeah, but offensive, their offensive line got Peyton Manning all beat up
because Clady got hurt and somebody else got hurt, and again, the best laid plans. The teams that usually have the most success avoid the most injuries throughout the season, and again, you have to get a little lucky in that department. You got to hope you don't go through three centers before week six. Those are things that don't point to long term success in the NFL. Avoiding the injury and having some nice balance does, and that's why guys cry when they hold that trophy. It's a really hard thing to do.
Yep, camp's just set to open here in the next few days or so. So the NFL just around the corner. I believe the Hall of Fame game is this weekend, is it not?
Should be.
Yeah, so just right around the corner. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy is a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. 574 Landmark Avenue, Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life. And we thank Williams Brothers. They're with us every Monday and Wednesday here in the zone.
333-2665 is a phone number. Quick programming note, we got Reds baseball all week long. 8 o'clock the next three nights as they are in St. Louis, and then Pittsburgh comes to Cincinnati on Thursday and Friday. We'll have those at 7 o'clock for you. So Reds baseball all week. They have made at least one big move. We'll talk about that here in just a little while. But it looks like time to start moving some assets out for the Reds and recollect some young assets. Speaking of acquiring and reacquiring, if you will, assets, the Indiana Pacers re-signed forwards Lavoy Allen and Shane Whittington. So a couple guys that were on the roster sticking around, so they don't have more folks leaving on their front line. They also completed a trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who drafted Rakeem Christmas out of Syracuse in the early second round. So he's
so that's 6'9", 6'11", 6'11", if you're scoring at home. People wondered what the Pacers were going to do to put their front court together. They also signed Jordan Hill, the former Laker, who's 6'11", big boy, 265, 1 year, $5 million. I did that 2 Mondays ago. So where's all the beef going to come up front? Well, the Pacers have answered that question in 2 weeks. And same thing like the Colts, Dave. You're not going to get four all-stars at that position. That's not how the NBA works, but no. You have to take a chance on guys you like upside on. Lavoy Allen's been there. He came over in the Evan Turner trade a couple years ago, so he's not going to be anything new to the locker room or new to the system of play.
Whittington was there last year.
And obviously, what they've seen in Allen they like, and the new system that Bird's going to put in, he's been there for 2 years. He's obviously done something to show Bird that moving to the system, he can flourish in it, getting up and down the court. Mahimini is there as well. Christmas, again, a guy they worked out before the draft. They liked. They just didn't catch in the second round. They wanted to go with guard instead, and they moved a second round pick for him. So you take a second
round. Couple years down the road too.
You take a second round pick and you get it for a guy that you think it can help you today.
Of course, Miles Turner. You mentioned George,
number one pick.
Jordan Hill. So
there you
go.
There's five. You got five pack. That's five of your 15 are big guys. Well, the other five should be swing guys. And the other five should be backcourt guys.
Those are your answers right now. There's one that's
no,
also
Whittington's not
going to
come. Whittington's not going to come in and solve any problems. But what they do,
he's going to be a fifth guy.
He hasn't played any basketball in the last 2 years because of injuries. But they signed him to a 2 year deal according to his agent today. So there's something in it they like. But if you can get a guy at 2 years for $2 million, it's just $1 million a season. Who's been in your system? Who knows how it works? Again, these aren't new pieces you're trying to mold into this big jar of clay.
The questions
and,
for the
and
team,
teams, and guys 13, 14, and 15 are guys you hope that can give you minutes in portions of weeks, not consistent.
Exactly. The questions for this team, as far as whether you're going to get production, are Jordan Hill, Miles Turner, and Ian Mahimi, and does Lavoy Allen? What kind of role does he have for this team? There's another interesting move that was made for a couple reasons. Of course, Glenn Robinson III. Was signed by the team. What's interesting to me, of course, Michigan, we know him well here at IU. We watched the guy play. Did not have a particularly productive year last year. I think he averaged 3.5 points in 20-some
playing
games.
Playing for a bad team.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he wowed anybody necessarily, which, of course, is probably why he didn't get re-signed
and is
available.
Goal, right.
He was released during the course of the season and picked up by another team. A three-year deal for Glenn Robinson III. So this says
how
to
many
me...
How many is guaranteed? How many of guaranteed?
I'd have to look, but this says to me they like the potential here, but obviously we haven't seen the potential show out, at least in the NBA, for Glenn Robinson.
And if it's a three-year deal for $6 million, it's $2 million a year. Again, that's not going to put you in the poorhouse if you have to break it off or lose it. You've seen the Pacers sign plenty of guys like this, Chris Copeland, et cetera, to multi-year deals because, Dave, you're buying low and you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle. So if Robinson comes out and has any kind of year, great. Instead of him on a one-year deal for $1 million, then he turns around and Rodney Stuckey's you for 3 years and $21 million, you at least have a guy locked in it. And like you mentioned, Robinson hasn't shown a whole lot on the NBA level of things. But again, if you're panning for gold and you get lucky and find a guy that fits your system and all of a sudden he's playing like he did at Michigan, just run up and down the court, knock down open jumpers, who knows? But you lock these guys in, you take that $1 million chance so you don't pay the $20 million you pay Rodney Stuckey. So there is some method to that madness. And the Pacers have done that with Whittington. They've done that with Robinson. I don't think Lavoy Allen's making more than $3 million a year. So you fill out the roster. Again, you want one guy at $5 million or you want three guys at $5 million?
Right.
That's kind of how the math has to work out here, and that's what they've done. So they've got 15 guys all dressed up, ready to go. The biggest angle will be, hey, where are all your guards at? Well, you've got Stuckey, Hill, and Monte Ellis, and Paul George can handle the ball. I don't think that's the end of the world at all.
Right.
The NBA, the positioning of players is slowly, slowly falling apart as we move forward. In the sense of defined position. Once the ball crosses half court, it doesn't matter who brings the ball up across half court. If you'd like to call him the point guard, that's fine.
Sure.
Do you call LeBron James a point guard? Well, who has the ball in the last 5 minutes of the game bringing the ball up the court?
Way.
Exactly right. Yeah. So who cares what that is? Do you have to have all guys handle the ball? You bet your yes, you do. If you're going to play up tempo, do you got to have all guys handle the ball? Yes, you do. So let's not get worried up in positions. I saw a couple of Pacer writers talk about, okay, 15 guys and one point guard. This isn't, you're not, you're, you, and here's what you do in the NBA. You don't face press trap or things where you need an orchestrated leader.
Right.
In the NBA, you get your best player the ball because you only have about 12 seconds
half pick and roll anyways.
Passes in a half court set, you're down to 10 seconds on the shot clock.
Right.
You find your best player or you run pick and roll. Maybe you need a point guard that runs pick and roll. But everybody has to be able to run pick and roll. Allen's got to run pick and roll.
Right.
Winnington's got to run pick and roll. Everybody has to do that. So these defined spots, not a big deal. What I think is more important, do you have guys that can defend? Do you have guys that can rebound? Do you have guys that can run? Do you guys that have that can shoot? I'm not worried about the two guard on the second team. Rodney Stuckey can dribble the ball if he needed to cross half court. right. So I'm not worried about that. But the Pacers overhaul.
Plus, it's not like this team's gonna be feeding the post all day long. Magic Johnson has to
throw
it into Kareem all night long.
And that's the easy thing to do, right?
Give it to Paul.
Throw it to Miles Turner. Have him do some work. So the fun part is you wonder to where all the interior presence would come from. Well, there you go. Is it the Golden State Warriors level of play? Maybe not. But again, it's the NBA. You put things together. It's a long season, and the Pacers should be more than competitive as long as Paul George is healthy. Dave, I think so much hinges on how George reacts to the full 82-game season and how they play him. Does he play three nights on, one night off, four nights on, one night off? Are they going to bring him into that, or is it going to be here you go, 37 minutes a night till you get tired, and then we'll take you out? That's going to be the more interesting thing. Forget about what position these guys play. If your best player, a top 10 player in the league, isn't running 100%, I don't care if you got 7 point guards and 8 7-footers. That's not going to matter in the NBA. The balance in the NBA works out if your big scorer scores and all the ancillary pieces do their jobs. That's what success is in the NBA. Look at the Warriors. Klay Thompson had nothing but short of an awful 6 games in the NBA Finals.
Yep.
He had one good game,
no good.
And you didn't even notice he stunk. Now, since every team isn't balanced like that, Steph Curry goes out and gets you 30 every night.
Well, Andre Iguodala comes out of nowhere.
Hey, there you go. But the point of the matter is the Pacers aren't good enough or deep enough to have Paul George get you 12 a night.
Stink, right.
And you hope he'll get you 24. Ellis is going to get his 20. We know that. Mm-hmm. Is Stuckey going to continue that? What's Turner going to do? What's Mahimini going to do? What's Hill going to do? Pacers have too many questions there. The number one player, the best player, has to be the guy that drives the bus. If not, you are asking all 9 other guys to essentially have career seasons.
Yeah.
And that's a hard ask at the NBA level. Not many teams that happens to. And the Pacers, these aren't guys you look at that have been picked up and you say, we've seen this before somewhere else. We hope it fits here. This is, hey, y'all, watch this. We hope it happens.
And it's a young team.
That's the good news.
There's that to be said. And there's a lot of contracts that are going to be long-term now. So you've got this team around for a while, and you can put in some other pieces here in the near future. Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Reminder, we have Reds baseball all week long. 8 o'clock the next 3 nights, including tonight. They're in St. Louis, so 8 o'clock tonight, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Pittsburgh comes to Cincinnati, 7 o'clock on Thursday and Friday here on WGCL. But the Reds struggling so far, and so the question always comes into play, is there going to be a fire sale, and when will it begin? Well, it just began, as Johnny Cueto has been traded to the Kansas City Royals. Hell of a deal. I mean, hell of a pickup for the Kansas City Royals, who already have the best record in the AL, who have been seeing some injuries among their starting pitching in particular. Their bullpen's always really good, but needed a starting pitcher. So this is a heck of a pickup for the Royals. But for the Reds, are there more to come here? I mean, you've got some other names.
Well, it's a good deal
there
for the Reds, too. They get 3 left-handed pitchers, and a couple of them, well, one's been in the show already, and another one's tearing up AAA. So you got to give to get. And the Royals' ERA is so bad with the best record in baseball. They're the 28th or 29th in ERA. I mean, that's terrible. How did the Royals do well last year? Well, they had their starters pitch 5 innings and had a lights-out bullpen for 4 innings. That has not been the case this year, so the Reds do get value back. And 3 left-handed kids, That's not the worst thing. Brandon Finnegan, John Lamb, and Cody Reed. Go to our Facebook page at WGCL Radio. You can see the whole details on that. We would link you to the article. That's the good news for the Reds. So when Cueto walked at the end of the season, you get nothing for him. So you, being that chip on the table, you probably got a little bit extra than you would have with somebody else who didn't perhaps need pitching that wanted to get in the Royals' way. So the good news for Cincinnati is you hope one of these guys turns out to be MLB ready sooner than later. And if you get two or three of them out of the deal, well, then you forget about Johnny Cueto immediately. It's the other thing with young guys, Dave, you don't have to sign them to $20 million a year like Cueto's getting. I know he's not getting that many, but right. He was getting plenty of cash for it. Are the Reds done? Why should they keep what they have? It hasn't worked. That's the issue.
Right.
Jay Bruce has a ton of money coming to him. That's different. When is his contract up? I don't think it ends at the end of this year. I think he's got another year to go.
Well, who wouldn't like Aroldis Chapman right now?
And his contract's up, so he will go. There's no point in keeping him. You don't need a closer when you've only won 40-something right. games. So there's no the guy pitches twice a week, and at the end of the season, you get nothing in return for him. That's how free agency works. So he will go somewhere, and you just hope the Reds and Walt Jocketty can find more guys that can help. Closer to immediately, the Reds are going to Marlon Byrd's another prospect. He's been a classic mercenary.
Todd Frazier.
No chance. He'll be the next one. Joey Votto's already under a huge contract. Frazier, huge fan favorite there. There's no way you can get rid of him. That's why you can get rid of Marlon Byrd. That's why you can get rid of Aroldis Chapman. Brandon Phillips you can take a look at. Jay Bruce you can take a look at. But no, you leave Frazier alone. Zach Cozart's going to come off and he tore his knee up. He'll be back next year. So the cupboard's not bare. It just didn't happen for the Reds this year.
And before we get too far away, I did note the Hall of Fame game in the NFL. Again, we're going to have a ton of football on the air here on WGCL. Of course, Reds baseball all this week, but a ton of football also. NFL and this year college football we are adding. In particular, though, I wanted to note the Hall of Fame game for the NFL is Sunday the 9th of August. Steelers and Vikings are playing. We will have the four Colts preseason games, a Sunday, two Saturdays, and a Thursday night. The Bengals coming to Indianapolis this year. We'll have all those games, and of course we'll have every Colts game during the course of the season, but just tons and tons of games this year as we add even more football to our schedule. And folks out there have shown they want football, and we're going to have a ton of football, including a bunch of Big Ten football this year, but even some big games in the SEC I see from the schedule. And you can find it all at WGCLradio.com under the sports category. But I see LSU at Mississippi State. I see TCU, Texas Tech. I see Washington, Stanford, LSU, Alabama, Oregon, Stanford. There's a bunch of good stuff here. We will also have the SEC and Big Ten championship games. So a lot of good stuff here on the WGCL airwaves when it comes to football. And, of course, back again this week with the Reds. We'll stick with them. They are looking to unload some folks as this year is just not happening for them. And as Glass mentioned, Zach Cozart out for the year. But Johnny Cueto, the first to go as Kansas City steps up for that. And that's the kind of the... That's the run of the mill. That's what you get as a Reds fan a bit. If you're not having that lights out season, you're going to have some guys come and poach your roster a bit. But
that's fine. As long
clearly,
as you,
it's
as long
not
as you
done.
Get, as long as you get stuff in return, that's the don't the Reds. Again, the Reds are under the same pressure as the teams buying from them. They know they've got a shot to get to where they need to, and they need that player. And the Reds know we have no shot once that player walks.
Well, and they've got a couple
so
pitchers here. I mean, Cueto you knew was going to be up
Cueto,
there. Chapman's
going to
be up there
he's
because
gone.
Everybody needs pitching at
right.
this time of year.
And there's places that need hitting. Jay Bruce gives you a big, big bat. Brandon Phillips gives you experience in the middle of the diamond. There shouldn't be a whole lot of untouchables in that Reds lineup. Moving forward just because it hasn't worked out, and if you can get something in return and cut your payroll, well, that always helps as well. Then you've got a chance maybe to go out and chase some free agents. When you don't have Chapman, when you don't have Cueto, you're going to have to find something, or you're going to have to build through youth, and we know that takes a little bit of patience as well. They've already brought up guys like Singrani and Lorenzen, and it's been a little rocky. It's not easy to succeed in the majors on all of that. So the Reds will affect the NL Central race, Dave. They've got seven this week against the teams in first and second place. So you can root against the Cardinals or Pirates if you prefer.
Sure, absolutely.
And,
why wouldn't you?
The Reds won't be done. Remember, Friday is the last day of straight trades. Then after Friday, everybody has to clear waivers. The non-waiver deadline is Friday, which means teams can block or choose to, hey, if you say, look, I want to trade to you, but first my guy has to clear waivers. Your biggest rival can say, we'll put a claim on that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they don't think that's a good idea. So that's how the baseball works this time of year, and the Reds will be involved in it one way or another.
333-2665 is the phone number. Before we get on out of here, a couple games last week for U.S. soccer, and this is one of the two main competitions, of course, U.S. soccer looks to compete in. They'd like to be in more and try to qualify for more. Now they have to go into a qualifying game to get into the Confederations Cup. But
this is a month apart
where they went to Germany and the Netherlands and beat two of the best teams in the entire world. Now, these are friendlies. They didn't mean anything technically. They mean a lot to U.S. soccer if they go on the road and beat these two teams. And then they come home, and this is all on U.S. and Canadian soil with the Gold Cup. Mexico was always going to be a tough match if they got to that point, but they end up losing to Jamaica.
Yeah, remember, the Gold Cup is always on U.S. soil, and there's a reason why the U.S. had made five consecutive finals before this year. It's a made-for-television tournament that tries to get a Mexico-USA final. That's why they're in opposite brackets every single year.
It's our confederation. Our confederation stinks.
It is because geographically it is what it is, yeah. And not even our entire confederation plays in this tournament.
You get a good Costa Rica or a Honduras.
The Gold Cup is who they choose to put into it because it's a made-for-television line-year FIFA pockets event, and that's fine. And when the USA doesn't perform in one game, who cares about the third-place game, to be honest with you? They got beat by a Jamaican side to play better than they did, just like the Germans aren't going to fire their coach because the USA went in and won in German soil for the first time in 100 years. Would you have liked to seen them play better? Absolutely. There's two things that if you don't want to play kids in games that don't count, and how else do you make them experience games that do count? So if you want to be upset that the defense wasn't who you wanted, if winning this tournament is the number one thing on your agenda, I think your agenda with U.S. soccer is a little screwy.
Well, winning this tournament wasn't an imperative. Losing to bad teams always looks bad.
Sure.
Especially in their home games.
And again, when you lose to a bad team in a third-place game that nobody cares about in front of 12,000 people in a half-empty stadium, I'm over it. That has nothing to do with the direction of the program.
And 4 years ago, they made a change at head coach and fired Bob Bradley and ultimately brought in Jurgen Klinsmann because they are different stages, I think, and you're correct in this regards. While the U.S. right now probably has some of the best attacking talent it's ever had as a group, its defense right now is still very young and very unsolved. By the fact they brought in DeMarcus Beasley back in for this game.
I asked some big fans on the old Twitterverse. They couldn't name three defenders they want to bring in. The USA has a talent problem. They don't have a coaching problem. There's a huge difference, in my opinion.
They have to figure out that defense.
It's good for the American fan now to expect to win everything. I like that attitude, but to be fair, look at the roster. It ain't happening.
No. Got to get that figured out. Hey, folks, music means we've got to head on out of here. 8 o'clock tonight, Reds at St. Louis. So don't go anywhere, and we will talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.